About 14, I think it was about maybe 15 years ago, we were pastoring in a little town called Helensburg, which is in the Royal National Park, southern Sydney, kind of between Sydney and another town called Wollongong. The town is awesome. One road in, one road out. A place called Stanwell Tops, where a lot of hang gliders go. Great surfing beach. Lovely little community. And we'd taken over this church, Helensburg Baptist Church. A friend of mine, John, and I had already pastored before in a church plant further south. And we came into Helensburg to work there as well. And in the process, we got called up by our Bible college, Morling College in Sydney. They had a request from what was known as Growing Healthy Churches, but Baptist Churches of the West in California. They were looking for us to plant a church in a new suburb that was being developed outside of Sacramento in Northern California, and they wanted us to do it. And of course, John and I just thought, yeah, that'd be awesome. You know, and you do have an element of arrogance when you know you are doing well. Our church plant in southern New South Wales did well. Helensburg, even with all the troubles that we were working through, was doing well. And we thought, yeah, we can. I mean, they want us. And so we got to work. We got trained. We did some work with Saddleback in Southern California, going through their program of training. We got a core group of people going, and we started with about 25 people in a small community center in a suburb, and within just a few months, we had completely outgrown that and went to a school auditorium, and took over that. The name of the church, this is really not working today, huh? Please, work. There we go. That was the name of the song. Well, the church was called Life Song. And yeah, it just completely took off. Now, I'm going to show you a video. It was 6 months in into this church plant. And this video was about 7 months, actually, into this the life of this church. And it gives you a feel for how things were really going so well. We did this in commemoration of the fact that we were starting to kind of fill up, and we used it as a promo video. So just take a look at this. I've got no working up here. Thank you.
Held high, such small sacrifice, not joined with my life. I sing in vain tonight. May the words I say and the things I do make my life. And feet.
I just know this is where I want to be and where I need to be.
It's awesome. Yep, and the answer is God's gift to my family. Gift wrap
quickly to a
group. Oh, man, it's absolutely awesome.
I like how much involved there is. Everybody here, how much everybody loves
music. Love the music. Love the pastors. Love the teaching. Love the donuts.
Going on with that video. Within a month after that video, Life Song ceased to exist. It's an interesting thing when your expectations are so high, when things are going so well, when you expect so much to go right, and they just don't go the way you plan. A lot of things happened a month after that video was shot and issued. I resigned on the Sunday night. The elders and mass resigned on the Monday. And John showed up for church to lead it on the next Sunday. And only three people showed up. We went from what was being touted as this incredibly fast-growing, active, doing some really cool stuff church, to the poster of what you don't do when you plant a church. I spent 3 months after that working as an assistant to a handyman in a trailer park in South Sacramento. And if anyone knows me, knows that handyman Rob, yeah, in a trailer park in South Sacramento. It's interesting how these expectations we have drive us, and sometimes we kind of lose picture of what God is actually doing in us and through us. This morning's passage is Matthew chapter 21, and it talks about Jesus entering into Jerusalem. We call it Palm Sunday. And the expectations of the people are incredible. Up until this point, all things have been going pretty hard with them. Go all the way back to the Assyrians coming through, and then the Babylonians coming through, and then the Persians coming through, then the Greeks coming through, and now the Romans coming through, and they've just had enough. They're waiting for this Messiah to come. And now, as chapter 21 opens up, here we have Jesus coming in to Jerusalem. The prophecies being fulfilled. I'm going to give you a few minutes just to read that. Chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. Take a moment just to read through that. couple of interesting things. It wasn't just one donkey, was it? They didn't just lay palms down, but they also laid their cloaks. And they refer to him as the Son of David, the kind of key word for Messiah. Their expectations were high, really high. They were really excited about it. And you know, when we've been reading through up until this point, and we've gone through Matthew, if we go back to chapter 11, you know, there were some concerns. John the Baptist, the guy who first identified Jesus for who he is, you know, even he was getting a bit worried about, you know, are you really the guy? In chapter 11, verses 2 to 3, he says, when John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Even he was a bit confused. Are you the one? I'm not sure you're meeting my expectations so far. And Jesus replied, you know, hey, you know, the sick have been healed, the lame walk. What more do you want? And, you know, part of it's John's expectations, and in part it kind of gets fulfilled, because here you see the crowd ultimately here, and as he's coming into Jerusalem, they acknowledge him. They went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the Messiah. He's arrived. Our expectations are being met. We're leading him in as king. It's an interesting thing. Just like we did when we planted Life Song, we shaped God as we shaped a new church. And in that process, lost what God was really all about. And in the same way, the Jews, at this point, all shouting and jumping for joy, seeing their Messiah. 7 days later, there will be no one standing before his cross. Just a couple of women and a guy. The rest of them all gone. In a less than a week from this triumphant entry, Jesus will be alone on a cross. We tend to shape Jesus the way we want. I'm being cheeky with some of the images I'm throwing up there. But we do tend to shape Jesus the way we want, the way it suits us, the way we maybe have been taught, maybe the way we've been educated, maybe through what our parents have told us or what other pastors have told us, or even in the way we interpret how Scripture's written. Whether it's, you know, how we interpret what love means, or what sin means, or what hell means, or what anything might mean in the Bible, we interpret it our way through our lens. We have expectations around what Jesus should and shouldn't be, what he said and hasn't said. And sometimes we kind of come up with these images that then shape the way we believe and think. And ultimately, sometimes disillusion us when he doesn't meet the image or the shape that we have created. So we form our own denomination, or plant our own church, or develop our own version of the Bible. We surround us with people who agree with us. Speak out against those who don't. And lo and behold, we become the very things that Jesus came to challenge. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Jews. They had an expectation for who the Messiah was. And in part, they were right. But they spent years, centuries, poring over the Scriptures, memorizing them, studying them. There was no cable TV or anything that they could go on and watch the football. Who watched the football this morning? I noticed all my guys were away. I noticed Ben Carswell's not here, just saying. Is Johnny Groves here? All my Liverpool fans are all at home celebrating. There was none of that on TV. They didn't have that. They had their Scriptures. The public place was to go and hear the Scriptures being read, listen to a teacher share their viewpoint on the. I mean, these guys lived theology. They knew what they were looking for. They had their expectations. And in part, they got it. But then they completely missed Jesus. They had expectations. They had set themselves up for failure. When finally the real thing shows up, boom, right over their heads. And sometimes for us as Christians, we can be like that. We can dig our trenches, set our battlements up, you know, really have it all right and wrong, and it just flies right over, and we miss it. We miss it. Because you see, when Jesus meets our expectations, we'll do anything. We'll do anything for him. There's this great passage in chapter 21, verse 8, where a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road while others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. I mean, this is not, they didn't have a warehouse. They didn't have H&M that they could just go down and buy another cloak. To have a cloak was a big deal. They didn't have a wardrobe in their house where they could go choose from 3 or 4 or 5 or dozen of them. When you laid your cloak on the ground, someone trampled over it. It was a donkey. And sometimes donkeys leave trails. Hey, you know what I'm talking about. You lay your cloak out there. You know what? They didn't have Fisher and Paykel. They didn't have LG that they can just go home and throw their cloak in. They had to wash it by hand. This was a sacrifice. For some of them, they must probably never picked up that cloak again. They gave it up of the 1 or 2 cloaks that they owned. Literally, proverbially, taking the shirt off their backs. And we do that for Jesus when he meets our expectations. When we think, this is the Jesus I want to follow, we'll do anything for him. But then over time, okay, sure. Well, I'll hold on to this cloak because I need it. Is this good, Jesus? Clearing the road for you. You know what I mean? How sometimes we get so, when he's doing what we want him to do, or if he's doing what we have shaped him to be, we get excited. Oh, praise God, praise God. But then, you know what? I'm sick and I'm not getting over this. I'm tired and I'm just over this and I'm not well off as that other person is. Or, and my prayers don't seem, I can't hear you, God. All these things happen. And all of a sudden, the shape of who Jesus is tends to dissipate, and we'll hold on to our cloaks now because, well, just like the Jews, he didn't really turn out to be the one I thought he would be. He didn't turn out to be that king that I thought he should be. See, because our view of Jesus is Jesus comes down with a row of angels going before him, with the trumpets. We don't expect a man on a donkey. And we expect then also a man to come up and defeat the evil empire and to conquer all things. We don't expect a man on a cross. Everybody wants Jesus when they want something badly. I'm not knocking prayer. Prayer is an important aspect of our spirituality. But sometimes it's like that, who's had that feeling? I just don't hear from God. He's not answering my prayers. He doesn't speak to me. Why? What's going on? And here's the challenge for this morning. I don't want to just keep knocking you guys down. But here's the challenge for this morning. You know, God has this knack, and you see this over and over again in the Bible. People have one expectation. God just does something completely different. What they all expected was going to happen, actually, it was the opposite. It's almost like looking through the looking glass. And we used Philip Yancey's quote a couple weeks ago. I've learned that faith means trusting in advance. That will only make sense in reverse. That just because I'm expecting a Savior to come in triumphantly and he ends up on a cross defies my expectations, looking back, it makes all the sense in the world. And sometimes when I stop and I think, I'm not hearing God. Where are you in my life? Or I'm sick. Why don't you heal me? Or my friend or my family, they're dying and I want you to heal them, Lord. Or the justice, where is it in this world? Why aren't you answering us, Lord? And in the moment, we get taken up and we're not hearing, we're not seeing. And then years down the track, we look back and think, ah, there he was. I look back to Life Song. It hurts to watch that video. I don't know if Monica's seen it in a while. When you saw Bella, she was little. It hurts to watch it. It still hurts. And I think back, why? And then I know why. I know why. God does his work and sometimes doesn't answer the way we want him to because he's not shaped the way we shape him. He is God. It's interesting. The Jews, they wanted judgment on this evil empire that had taken them over. Pompey had come in and he had desecrated the holy place. He had gone in to the most holy place. He had put his statue up in the court. These people are just like, judgment now, God. These guys are evil. And Jesus comes and instead of putting judgment on the evil empire, he puts a judgment that's going to come onto their city. Less, a little over 30 years from this point, the temple in Jerusalem will cease to exist. And when we're calling for judgment of others, maybe we need to kind of look inwardly first. We're all expecting Jesus to come and put his stamp on people to show them what's right. There's a prophecy from some prophet up in Belmont that some of our people are following. And their prophecy is that this major earthquake's going to happen. And it's going to completely devastate the Hutt Valley. Why not Porirua? Why us? I don't know. He's got it in for us. And he says it's going to happen this year. It's like we get a thrill out of that happening. Oh, yes, yes, yes. It's an evil valley. Really? Why aren't we prophesying God's goodness, God's love? Why aren't we prophesying how much he loves people and how much he wants to see them? Why isn't John 3:16 the forefront of everything we do now? For God so loved the world. It used to be big once upon a time, but now it's not. You know, why are we doing this? And then, you know, come 31st of December, what are we going to do? Hear another prophecy and say, oh no, we got it wrong. The moon shifted to the left a little bit. It's this year coming. And all of us go, oh yeah, yeah, it is. Oh, like good old Harold Camping, who's passed away. Thank goodness, because that was like a dozen prophecies every couple years about the end of the world. And all of us still giving him ear instead of rebuking him. They wanted judgment on the evil empire, but Jesus actually brought, and you'll read it in the next verses, he talks about the temple. Judgment they wanted on the evil empire, but judgment was to come on their own city. You know, they wanted rescue from the Romans. They wanted to be rescued from the yoke of the evil empire, of what they're making them do. But Jesus didn't come to rescue them from the Romans. He came to rescue them from themselves. And it's interesting because Palm Sunday is the difference between our expectations and God's answer. When we're wanting and praying and asking God, not being open enough to maybe hear differently and what he's doing, and being surprised that God isn't shaped the way we want him to be shaped, but that he is God. And that sometimes when we can't hear him, maybe it's because we've dug so deep into the trench that if we just stuck our heads up a little bit, we might hear him. Or that if we looked up, we might see him. In the middle of difficulties, in the middle of injustices, in the middle of all of that, it's hard to understand what's going on. It really is. But to be able to step back and understand that God is God, And even when we don't understand, even when things don't just seem right, or as one of the youth asked, what happens if aliens did land on the planet? And I think one of the responses was, well, there's another evangelistic mission right there. Great response. You know, it doesn't knock us down, but it just shows us how big our God is. How much more bigger He is than us. And it's a challenge, isn't it? Because doing it on our own doesn't work. And I'm going to say this over and over and over again. But doing it on our own cannot work. It drives you crazy. And that's why He's brought His people together as a church. So that we can do it together. The challenge for you this week. What are your expectations of Jesus? What do you put upon Him? What do you expect from Him? What ways are you shaping Jesus? In what ways are you doing that? It's hard to sit here and kind of be a bit more self-aware in figuring out, oh, how do I shape Jesus? How do I live it? Why do I react negatively to this or that? Or why am I so focused on this and not this? That's the challenge for you this week. Because this whole Holy Week, Gareth is up next week to take us through a few more of those chapters. And then I get the great chapter 24 where I get to talk to you about the end of the world. That's really exciting, apparently. But in this Holy Week, Jesus just challenged every step of everything that these people believe. Their expectations are challenged to the point where they abandon Him. And the greatest act in human history, Jesus dying on the cross, all those hundreds that witnessed Him on that donkey, gone. Witnessed by criminals and the few scattered. How are you shaping Jesus? That's your challenge this week. I ask the worship team to come up. Let's pray. Father God, thank You, Lord,